here's the Choose Again book by Diedrich Wolzak, and where he left off with the section titled Remembering Who We Are. And the last paragraph before that is been highlighted many times in the Kindle edition, so I'll reread that. He says, to begin healing, we must be willing to say, quote, I must be wrong because I'm not happy, close quotes. And with this realization, we've made a real start at reversing cause and effect. The cause is within, and the effect is seen outside. Remembering who we are, Diedrich writes, the capital T, true, capital S, self, is oneness. It is what people call God. It is what people call love. It is all that we are. Ego is the thought that we're always alone, the thought that we're not attractive, the thought that we will always be alone, one thought like this after another. The ego is only a thought. It begins with a thought of separation. Therefore, it doesn't exist because, in essence, there is no such thing as separation. However, if we don't learn that there's no such thing as separation, then the only voice we'll ever hear is the voice of the ego. We will never hear another voice because the voice of the loving capital S self does not overrule the ego. It doesn't even argue with it. It just waits. It waits for us to say, quote, the crap my ego feeds me day in and day out doesn't work for me anymore. There must be another way, close quotes. In order to remember who I am and always have been, I use a radical form of forgiveness. But the forgiveness I'm referring to has nothing to do with what anyone may have done to me or what I may have done to anyone else. The forgiveness I practice has to do with transforming my core beliefs about myself and who I am in the world. It's about rethinking and then rectifying the idea that I could be separate from the rest of existence. The idea that I could be hurt. The idea that I could be alone. The idea that I could be vulnerable. The idea that I could be merely a body. And most of all, recognizing and transforming the belief that I could be guilty. Not one of these ideas has any truth in it. In truth, you and I are one with all of creation at all times. In fact, outside of time, we are not separate or alone, and we apply the transformative power, and when we apply the transformative power of forgiveness, we forgive ourselves for believing in separation. In other words, we dismantle the thought of separation. We cancel, we shebag, we drop, we transform, we dismantle the thought of separation. We who are in truth is and who we are in truth is unchanged and unchangeable. Who we are in capital T truth is eternal and infinite. Diedrich goes on. Given that love is the essence of our capital T true being, it follows that loving thoughts come from our true capital S self. Fear-based thoughts come from the ego. Once we recognize this, we are able to monitor our thoughts and intercept the ones that don't deserve. That's true, but they don't serve us. They don't deserve us, and they don't serve us. Little by little, we will transform our life experience by training our minds. the 6 steps to freedom described in the remaining pages of this book provide a useful tool for this endeavor. The rewards for using it will go beyond anything you can now imagine. And please be aware that this radical transformation process will at times feel like your entire world is being turned upside down. That is because it is. C.S. Lewis wrote, quote, "Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right and stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you're not too surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably, and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one you thought of. He's throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage. He is building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself." Close quotes from C.S. Lewis. So the summary of this third chapter is, point number one, capital O, oneness, is our true, capital T, true reality. Point number two, an experience of that oneness is helpful in remembering who we are in capital T, truth. Point number three, our worth is intrinsic. Point number four, we are innocent in capital T truth. Point number five, our unhappiness stems from the belief that we are separate. Point number six, we can shift our attention from our ego self to our capital S self by training our mind and in so doing regain happiness, which is our birthright. Point number seven, capital L, love, is all there is. Chapter 4, The Choose Again 6-Step Process to Emotional Freedom. At the beginning of this chapter, Diedrich quotes The Course in Miracles, quote, "Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you gave it, nothing more than that. But though it is no more than that, it is not less. Therefore, to you, it is important. It is the witness to your state of mind, the outside picture of an inward condition. As a man thinketh, so does he perceive. Therefore, seek not to change the world, but choose to change your mind about the world. Perception is a result and not a cause." Close quotes. Course in Miracles. Diedrich writes, "On the following pages, we will explore a simple process that I use to find emotional freedom from any conflict or upset that I have in my life. I have introduced this process to thousands of people, and they too have found it an effective way to work with their thoughts and emotions. They transform their daily state of mind from one of turmoil to one of inner peace and happiness. You will find it to be a relationship saver and virtually foolproof conflict resolution tool. If you practice this process just a few times each day, you're bound to change your life in ways you cannot yet imagine. The 6-step process is simple, yet radical and transformative. When utilizing it, I focus on an everyday upset, big or small, and I examine that upset in order to uncover a core belief that I have about myself. Knowing how erroneous that belief is, I forgive myself for holding it, and I remind myself that, given the truth of who I really am, that belief could never be true. the small self that my ego has constructed, which is really nothing more than a cluster of beliefs, this is what I'm setting out to transform when I undertake this work. The set of beliefs I've made up goes by the name Diedrich. Beliefs and their expressions are really what society calls character or personality. You and I are not lazy or attractive, dishonest or argumentative. We just believe we are. And how we behave when those beliefs go unquestioned serves to confirm and reinforce our beliefs about ourselves. By correcting my beliefs using the six-step process, and thereby literally changing my mind, I actually alter, and I alter very deeply, these entrenched patterns of behavior that have been sabotaging my ability to experience an emotionally healthy, harmonious, and happy life. The six-step process begins with any upset and ends with profound healing. Ordinary, everyday upsets become the portals to happiness. For example, if someone cuts me off in traffic, which is a classic upset for many of us, I can apply the six-step process to that upset. After discovering which embedded belief chose my emotional response to that event, I can correct it. Perhaps it's my belief that I'm a victim. If so, I use the six-step process to process that belief. Whichever belief has been triggered, that's what I examine and transform. After I've successfully completed the process, I'll be able to encounter a similar situation without the need to honk the horn, yell colorful language out the window, or make angry gestures at the offending driver. Being cut off in traffic becomes a neutral event that doesn't hold any emotion for me if I've done the work to correct the beliefs that drive, no pun intended, that drive my behavior. So you see how an upset contains a gift. What's the gift? It's a forgiveness opportunity. Diedrich quotes Pema Chodron. She says, quote, "Feelings like disappointment, embarrassment, irritation, resentment, anger, jealousy, and fear, instead of being bad news, these are actually very clear moments that teach us where it is we are holding back. They teach us to perk up and learn in when we feel we'd rather collapse and go away or back away. They're like messengers that show us with terrifying clarity exactly where we're stuck. This very moment is the perfect teacher. And lucky for us, it's with us wherever we are, this very moment." Diedrich writes, "Everything in my life is the result of my thoughts, and my thoughts are unconsciously directed by my beliefs." One teaching from A Course in Miracles that invariably incurs immediate and intense resistance is, quote, "It is my thoughts alone that cause me pain," close quotes. The resistance is chosen by a powerful belief. That belief is, I'm a victim. At the moment the planet is populated by some 7 billion people, most of them convinced that they are victims. Victims of their parents, victims of their children, victims of their boss, victims of the weather, victims of the economy. You get the idea. We are addicted to the feelings of victimization. What the six-step process will teach you, amongst several other crucial insights, is that you are the absolute author of your experience on the planet. Yeah, victims can roll their eyes now and say, quote, "I do not choose to lose my father when I was just 4 years old," close quotes. And that may be true, but it's also true that the meaning you gave it was your choice. I am never upset at a fact. I am upset by my interpretation of that fact. Marcus Aurelius said a long time ago, quote, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. And this you have the power to revoke at any moment. Close quotes. Shakespeare said much the same thing in Hamlet when he said, quote, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Close quotes. I'm still here, but that was some time for throat clearing and a sip of water. We ended with the quote from Shakespeare, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Diedrich writes, how many of us are immediately prepared to accept this truth without the slightest objection? It took me a while, but I discovered fairly early in my process that the problems and challenges I faced became much less daunting once I accepted true responsibility. And I moved out of the realm of victimhood. All aspects of my existence are nothing more than pieces of evidence that support core beliefs. So that means that if I want a different outcome, literally a different reality, I must change my mind. I must change my mind about who I think I am. And here are the steps to do that. Step one in the six-step process. Recognize that I'm upset. Every day, we all face numerous incidents that upset us in one way or another. For the purpose of healing my mistaken beliefs, any feeling I experience that is not peaceful is considered to be an upset. In order to begin healing, I have to start paying attention to each and every one of these upsets. The first thing I must do when I get upset is to fully acknowledge that I am upset or in conflict. In so doing, I must fully own the upset. When I'm not at peace, I am upset. You can't be both at once. And that means there is no such thing as a small upset. In the same sense that you can't be a little bit pregnant. Every upset presents an opportunity for me to find and dismantle one of the barriers that I have to inner peace. Now that's exciting. Now, can I welcome upsets as catalysts for my healing? When I'm upset, I've been given a golden opportunity to feel the healing and allow the feeling to guide me back to the source. The upset is triggering a memory of an earlier time when I felt much the same way. That's all there is to it. It's an echo of an event that was over long ago. We'll develop this idea further in the following chapter, but for now, just hold the thought and trust that it's true. All upsets or emotional disturbances serve the same purpose. They're there to prove that my mistaken beliefs about myself are true. So the first step is recognize that I'm upset and that even a little upset is worthy of being dismantled. Step two is the recognition, me. It's about me. Here, Diedrich quotes Anthony DeMello, quote, why is everyone here so happy except me? A disciple asked. Because they've learned to see goodness and beauty everywhere, said the master. Why don't I see goodness and beauty everywhere? Said the disciple. Because you cannot see outside of what you fail to see inside. Close quotes. Anthony DeMello. Diedrich writes, there's a powerful teaching from A Course in Miracles that says, I am never upset for the reason I think. The step two teaches me that whenever I'm upset or in conflict, it's never about another person or an external situation. It is never about what I think. It is about however much I want to be right whenever I'm upset. Instead, it's just about me. But my old voice will counter that. Well, yeah, right. This time it really is somebody else's fault, not mine. Here's why. And then the why becomes the immediate justification for the upset. If I run with the justification, I miss the gift. What's the gift? Healing the belief that chose that upset. With step two, all of that finger pointing must go. It's much easier to adopt the role of victim than it is to take complete and total responsibility for my experience in life. When I accept that I am the author of my own life and the author of each and every circumstance in my life, I have to let go of blame. I have to let go of all blame. Blaming others and or blaming myself only serves to strengthen a negative belief that I have about myself. I have to let go of the story. In the story, I'm right. In the story, I have every reason to be upset, even worse. And I'm justified in being traumatized for life and damaged beyond repair. That means I have become my story. And to that degree, my upsets are justified. This is why I say to people, my definition, my new definition for being stuck is anytime I have a negative thought about myself or somebody else or a negative emotion active in my life. My new definition for being hopelessly stuck is that I'm arguing for my negative thought or emotion. Here Diedrich quotes Thich Nhat Hanh, who said, quote, when you plant lettuce, if it does not grow well, you don't blame the lettuce. You look for reasons it's not doing well. It may need fertilizer or more water or less sun. You never blame the lettuce. Yet if we have problems with our friends or family, we blame the other person. But if we know how to take care of them, they will grow well, like the lettuce. Blaming has no positive effect at all, nor does trying to persuade using reason and argument. That is my experience. No blame, no reasoning, no argument, just understanding. If you understand, and you show that you understand, you can love, and the situation will change. Thich Nhat Hanh. Diedrich writes, step two is a powerful anti-victim step where healing begins. I must learn to take responsibility for everything in my life, which is essentially an empowering process without assigning any blame. I now know that blaming someone else for the conflict will not get me what I really want. What I really want is to be happy and to be at peace. Step two is the most important and most difficult step of them all. We'll look at this in greater detail in Chapter 6. Step 3 in the six-step process is I feel my feelings. Now I ask myself, what am I feeling? It's surprising how hard it sometimes is to know what I'm actually feeling. This is where commitment to honesty is essential. As mentioned earlier, when I started on my own healing path, I had only two distinct feelings, numbness and rage. Numbness was the big one, although I did get perverse pleasure and illusory sense of being powerful from the chronic state of rage. In step three, I have to take time to identify my dominant feeling or my two or three strongest feelings and allow myself to experience them completely by feeling them at a very deep level. I must become familiar with my feelings because I have to be, quote, in the feeling, close quotes, in order to make a genuine change in my life. That is, I have to feel it to heal it. Why? Because it's the feelings that will lead me to a memory or memories of situations in which I felt this way before. That's coming in step four. Those memories allow me to access an understanding of the root cause of the development of each core belief I have. It gives me access to who I think I am. Remember, he says, hiding beneath each feeling is an emotion-charged memory that forms the foundation of an erroneous belief about myself. All this happened at a very early age. So in order to unpack each feeling that I'm currently experiencing, I have to focus on it. I have to make it as big a feeling as I possibly can and really, really feel it. Because, again, if I don't feel it, I can't heal it. Step four, I remember when I first felt this way. Now that I'm, quote, in the feeling, close quotes, I ask myself, is this feeling familiar? Have there been other circumstances where I also felt like this? It is impossible that this is the first time I felt this way, because emotional reactions are actually just replays of events from a long time ago. This awareness helps me to accept that the feeling I have chosen has nothing to do with the current circumstance or the upset. The circumstance simply triggered, activated a feeling that is chosen by the core belief. Once I realize that my feelings manifest in patterns, I have to become a detective. I'm looking for the source of this feeling, so I ask myself, when did I first feel this way? After a little searching, the feeling will trigger a memory. I'll remember an incident, an old incident, when someone said or did something that made me feel that same way. I have to go back pretty far in my memory to find the first instance of such a particular feeling. And yet with willingness, I will find it. When I do find the memory, I need to ask myself, on a scale of 1 to 10, how strong is the feeling within the memory? A 10 would mean that I'm so upset I can hardly stand it, whereas a 1 would be a minimal upset or a minimal emotion. Step 5, I establish my mistaken judgment of myself. So here I am in the middle of my process. I'm clearly upset. I've taken ownership of it, and it's bringing up all my stuff. I'm determined to do my work, so I stay in the feeling and allow the early memory of an upset to play out in my mind like a replay in a sports show. Now, my job is to focus on the memory that's arisen and ask myself, who am I in this situation? How did I interpret the situation or circumstance in which this feeling played such a strong role? Also, if there were other people involved in that early circumstance, I might ask myself, how do I think that other person judged me when he spoke to me that way? And most importantly, what was the judgment of myself in that defining moment? What did it say about me that that person acted or spoke in that way? What kind of person deserves to be treated this way? What kind of person deserves to feel this way? As I ask these questions, I unravel what I came to believe and downloaded about myself at this earlier time. Diedrich writes, to give an example from my life, my father was a drinker, and his behavior could be very unpredictable. On occasion, as I was growing up, he would be very angry at me for no discernible reason. This happened frequently. As I reached back in my mind to examine the very first memory of this kind, I found that I had blamed myself for his anger. I judged myself as guilty. There must have been something wrong with me to provoke such an unexpected response from him. ever after that, when someone was angry with me for no apparent reason, my default program would be to blame myself. In years of working with people, it has become so clear that having a parent with a substance abuse issue leaves one constantly on edge, constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. As you can see, this interpretation of a childhood event led me to establish a mistaken belief about myself, one that I carried with me as part of my core identity for a good part of my life. Step 6 is the way to undo that and any other negative belief. Step 6, I embrace the truth about me. In this final step, you correct the negative self-judgment that you identified in step 5 with a two-part forgiveness process. First, you shift your perceptions about that childhood circumstance and what you mistakenly thought it said about you. The belief you formed about who you were at that point was wrong, and it never served you. The second part of the forgiveness is to remember that who you are in truth, capital T, truth, love itself, capital L, love itself, that is unchanged and unchangeable. So let's go back to the example of my father drinking and how I misused that fact to judge myself as guilty. Now is the time to undo that belief. So I say to myself, quote, forgive me for believing that I am guilty. Thank God that is not true. I just made it up. It's just an erroneous belief that I can now let go of. And then I go on to ask myself for forgiveness for every belief I made up at that time. Weak, powerless, unworthy, unimportant, shameful, undeserving of love, not good enough, didn't belong, a victim, etc. In my experience, most of us have one or more of these limiting beliefs. I may have to do this forgiveness process more than once. Old beliefs are sometimes hard to shake. After all, I'm now changing my entire identity. I'm setting out to change the idea of myself that I have lived with for many years. The second part of this forgiveness process is to confirm the capital T truth of me. This time, I forgive myself for forgetting the truth of who I am. I might say, for example, quote, forgive me for forgetting that who I am is unchangeably innocent. Or, quote, forgive me for forgetting that my worth is intrinsic and is not established by what I do or think, close quotes. Or, quote, forgive me for forgetting that I am an integral part and of the unchangeable oneness of love, close quotes. And my response to myself is, thank God that this is the truth, close quotes. It's important for me to correct each belief I uncovered in the upset. So if I believe that I was powerless, I will now remember that I am the author of my own experience and that my power and the power of capital L love is infinite. Where am I at now? Now it's time to check with the level of my feelings. So I go back to the memory that conjured up this in step 4, and how do I feel now? Chances are I have much less of an emotional reaction to the circumstances in my memory. My goal is to be at peace. If I am not fully at peace, I need to repeat the process and look at other negative beliefs until the upset is completely neutralized. Rarely it happens that the upset has not been reduced in anxiety, does not feel better, or perhaps even worse. In this case, it's likely that there is an earlier or different origin for the upset, which can be found by repeating all the steps. Forgiveness is what I use in this process. However, it's important to note, I'm not forgiving my father for drinking or my teachers for getting angry and yelling at me. I want to be very clear. This kind of forgiveness is not about condoning anyone's unacceptable behavior. Rather, I am forgiving or dismantling from myself the beliefs I made up as a result of the early circumstances in question. I'm forgiving or dismantling my belief that I am what I never could be, that I am worthless or unlovable or powerless or guilty. This process sets me free. When I practice it frequently, it radically changes all my relationships. That is because all of my relationships are with myself, lower S self. And now I'm transforming that little less self to connect with my big S, eternal, universal self. So here's the summary. Challenge yourself to remember each step of the choose again six-step process using the I'm free mnemonic. Teach the process to a friend. That's the best way to secure the knowledge. Here's the mnemonic, a shorthand of the six-step process. Step number one, I'm upset. Step number two, me. It's about me. Step number three, focus on the feelings. Step number four, remember my ancient feelings. Step number five, establish my judgment of myself. Step number six, embrace the truth about me. Note that the first letters of the steps spells out, I'm free. I'm upset. Me, it's about me. Focus on the feelings. Remember my ancient feelings. Establish my judgment of myself. Embrace the truth about me.